It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Shout out to our good buddy Cecil Lammy, who is hosting the morning show all this week with Stink, fresh off his vacation. He said something, and I got to admit to you, I have not heard this yet, but he said something that may have touched on a Case Keenum weakness. Check this out.
We can't truly judge Case Keenum until we see this team run the ball, because they have to run the ball to set him up to be his best.
Right.
And he's not going to wow you with the arm. That's those lollipop throws, the sidelines, they're going to be there. You're just going to have to get used to seeing that. He's not going to wow you with his stature, right? If you set up the complete game plan, let him run the show, that's where he can be most impressive. So when you're out at training camp, Broncos country, out at UC Health Training Center coming up in 12 days, don't watch Case Keenum and go, oh, you know, because he's not going to sling it around.
Yeah.
And he's not going to wow you with those, look at that zip pass, look at that 80-yard. No, he's not going to do any of that.
The first portion of that is you seem like you have a takeaway from that. Go ahead.
Well, I missed the whole first portion. I was watching Bryce Harper again on the TV do the home run derby. I was so intrigued by Bryce Harper, I missed the whole first part of it. That's why I have the puzzled look on my face.
World, more puzzled than usual.
Yes, more than usual.
Steven, let's hear that first.
Bryce Harper, it was awesome. I can't get over it. It was so cool. You know, his dad was out there, Zach, and his dad's all yoked up, you know?
His dad's
just yoked. And Bryce Harper, the way he finished that thing, the way two hands over the top with the bat, and he's got the, you know, the USA headband on and the arm sleeve and the bat, you know, it's just like good old US of A, and does it in his home stadium. I mean, it was just so cool. And I found myself just locked in, and next thing you know, I just like, wait, well, I was supposed to be listening to Cecil.
You turned me like, we're live and you're asking me a question.
Right. God, honestly, what do you do all day?
What do you do all day? But that was such a cool moment. That was so cool.
It was legendary. I've never seen a home run derby end with that kind of suspense.
The finish, the rapid fire, like the dad just, I mean, because you were down, I don't know how many it was in the last 30 seconds. Do we know? Somebody tell me, was it six? Was it eight?
Something like that.
And it was just like, the dad just kept zinging it. And before whoever the announcer was could get it out of his mouth, it was like, oh, here comes another one. It's like, wait, where are they coming from?
Yeah, the camera, well, let me just say this. The rules were that you're not supposed to give the next pitch until the previous ball has hit the ground. They threw caution to the wind.
Yes.
And
who's going to say? You're going to run out there and say, right. No
Imagine
good.
Imagine that at Nationals Park. Everyone cheering.
DQ.
Technically.
DQ.
Kyle Schwarber won.
You get DQ'd. Sorry.
Because he started saucing them things in there. Phew, phew, phew.
His swing is just so
sexy.
Like, oh. I mean, it is so
incredible.
Nice. Kind of reminds me of my swing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, I was hoping that Bryce, after he hit, because what happened was
Look at him. I mean, it was.
Dude, he's a stud muffin.
He crouches down a little bit, and just the swing is unbelievable. And then having his dad pitching BP, and his dad's all yoked up. What a great moment. Legendary. You know, you think about legendary home run derbies, and you think about Ken Griffey Jr., hat on backwards, you know, McGuire, Aaron Judge, right, Giancarlo Stanton, and what he was able to do. And you put Bryce Harper right at the top with what he was able to do last night in that moment.
It's unbelievable. And the fact it was his home crowd.
Yes.
And it's probably his last time ever.
Oh, he's not doing it again.
All-Star Weekend in a Nationals uniform.
Yeah. And he probably won't ever do the home run derby again.
Why would you?
Right.
Why would you?
I'm not doing it again.
No.
I'm out.
Vince doesn't do the dunk contest twice.
That's right. One time, and you will always remember it. Legendary.
Whew,
that was good stuff.
Fun.
Now, what did Cecil say again?
Let's hear that again, Steven.
We can't truly judge Case Keenum until we see this team run the ball, because they have to run the ball to set him up to be his best.
Right.
And he's not going to wow you with the arm. That's those lollipop throws, the sidelines, they're going to be there. You're just going to have to get used to seeing that. He's not going to wow you with his stature, right? If you set up the complete game plan, let him run the show, that's where he can be most impressive. So when you're out at training camp, Broncos country, out at UC Health Training Center coming up in 12 days, don't watch Case Keenum and go, oh, you know, because he's not going to sling it around.
Yeah.
And he's not going to wow you with those, look at that zip pass, look at that 80-yard. No, he's not going to do any of that.
Really, what I wanted to bounce off you was the first 5 seconds of what Cecil said about Case Keenum and the running game. Listen to it one more time.
We can't truly judge Case Keenum until we see this team run the ball.
There we go. Are we not going to be able to judge Case Keenum if the Broncos can't run the football?
I'm not grading him on a curve. You know what that means?
I do.
So if this
I love the curve.
Right, yeah. I always needed the curve. Like, hopefully everybody did as bad as I did. You know, bump me up a little bit.
Bump me.
Yes. Hopefully you're not in a class full of a lot of smart people.
Right.
You know, the teacher said, well, you know, we had 15 people make A's, so you five that failed it, sorry. There is no curve for you.
Sorry about that.
So, but that's what I'm saying. You're not grading Case Keenum on a curve. It doesn't matter. Case Keenum was brought here to carry the load. And regardless of the running game or not running game, I expect him to get the job done. That's just where I'm at with Case Keenum. So I'm not going to say, oh, I give him a pass because we can't run the football. No, I'm expecting Case Keenum to go out there and help this team win football games and put a team on and be able to put a team on his back and carry that team to victory. That's the type of quarterback I'm expecting to see from Case Keenum.
Love it.
I'm not expecting this team to carry Case Keenum anywhere. I'm expecting Case Keenum to carry this team.
Whoa.
Two places.
That's like the old John F. Kennedy. Don't ask what your country can do for you.
But do what you want for your country.
You can do
yes,
for your country.
That one. That quote. Yes.
Well,
put me in the same sentence as John F. Kennedy, baby. How about that? Legendary quote. Steven, save that one.
That's the line, yeah. That's the line, yeah.
But that's how I view him. That's how I'm viewing Case Keenum. He's a competent starting quarterback. This guy is not going to be graded on, oh, man, this offensive line, you know, we're not running the football, so we give Case Keenum a pass. I mean, you're not going to do that, are you?
I'm not, but at the same time, I don't want to have the same expectations that, say this the right way, I don't want to expect the same things from Case Keenum that we saw from a year ago if you can't effectively run the ball. And I'm not talking about we have to be a top five rushing offense, but I would like to see... if it's nothing more than a semi-balancer to keep the defense honest, because we can't be a one-trick pony here. This thing will get figured out pretty quick. And last year, they got a guy named Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon, who Murray carried the football a little bit more, but they were each 150 carries or more. And I just want to make sure that we're on the same page, because if the Broncos can't run the ball, and you look at the group, you can't say with certainty that they are going to be able to run the ball effectively. If they're a bottom third rushing football team, I hate to use the type of curve, but my expectations for Case Keenum would lower if that's what it's...
I thought you believed in him. And and had confidence that this guy is going to improve. That's kind of where I'm at with him. And either he gets the job done or he doesn't get the job done. And I'm not going to, you know, just give him a pass by saying, oh, well, he didn't have a running game. Why? Because I think he's going to make that running game better because of how well he does in the passing game. And Cecil said something there also that that got me and I wanted to touch on. And you know what? I'm going to do that next.
A little cult of personality. I like it. Shout out to CM Punk. All right, Stoke, you said something. Did it bother you a little bit, what Cecil said there yesterday morning?
I don't know if it really bothered me that much, but it just kind of caught my attention a little bit, and I just wanted to react to it a little bit. Here he is.
Don't watch Case Keenum and go, oh. You know, because he's not going to sling it around.
Yeah.
And he's not going to wow you with those, look at that zip pass, look at that 80-yard. No, he's not going to do any of that.
Perfect. I am A-okay with that. I don't need to be wowed. I don't need to see an 80-yard bomb. I don't need to see a lightning arm, you know, zipping it in there, slinging it around. I don't need to see any of that. If I want to do that, I'll go, you know, watch a guy throw it 80 yards for an incomplete pass. I can watch Paxton Lynch, right? I'm not wowed by that. You know what I'm wowed by? Accuracy.
Mm.
Anticipation.
Mm.
Knowing where to go with the football.
Ah.
That's not sexy, but that's what wows me because that's what wins you football games. That's what converts third downs. And that's what Case Keenum will do for you. Yeah, if you're looking for all the other stuff, Like, you look at Case Keenum like we did, you're like, oh, that's him? God, he looks like he's 5'8". Not very tall.
He is a little guy.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't have the strongest arm. Yeah. Right? It's just, so, you won't be wowed by the appearance and his arm strength, but what he will do is he'll get the job done. And that's what wows me. And that's what impresses me. And that's what I think will eventually impress Broncos country is, you know what? This guy just gets it done. He doesn't, you know, look the part, doesn't maybe do anything really, really special, but he's just good at everything. He's got great anticipation, got great accuracy, knows when to take off and use his feet as a weapon, but also knows when to hang in the pocket
sure.
and not escape the pocket too early. He just does everything really, really well. And that, in the end, will be the wow factor. And that's what I want to be wowed about.
You know what? I absolutely love it. And this goes back to a conversation that you and I had maybe, I don't even know now, a couple months ago, where you know I said I believed the most. Oh, you know, we're talking about it because Drew Brees is on pace to break Peyton's passing record for yards. And I think it's the most. I think it's the most overinflated stat in football. The number of yards you passed for, I just doesn't do it for me. And that's along the same vein as, well, you know, can you air it out? Can you put it 65 yards in the air? And if Case Keenum goes and does what he did last year, and that's have a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio and 68% of his passes, I don't care if one play goes over 40 yards all year long because that guy's a chain mover.
Exactly. And he's getting the job done. And that's the bottom line. Are you staying on the football field? Are you scoring touchdowns? Are you converting third downs? Are you helping your football team win? And if you're doing that, I don't need to be wild about all that other stuff.
Yeah.
All that other stuff doesn't matter. I think that a lot of people, you're finally coming to the realization that arm strength is not that big of a deal. It's really not.
Finally.
I could care less about how hard you throw the football or how far you can throw the football.
Right.
If you don't know what the heck is going on.
Stoke, it's not that league anymore. It's really not that league. I mean, guys do air it out, yeah, and you do see it, but there's more of an emphasis now than ever before of protecting the football. Accuracy. Ratio. It's not about, you know, can you throw it over a safety's head?
I would like to throw it over a safety's head.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Every once in a while. But at the same time, I want to be able to convert third downs with short intermediate passing game. And if you can do that and you can stay on the football field and you have a good defense, you always have a chance. And I think that's what Case Keenum will bring to the Broncos this year.
Case Keenum is not a hatchet. Case Keenum is a scalpel.
Mm,
okay?
I got to think about that.
Case Keenum's not a hatchet. There's no
big old hatchet. Okay.
No, he is a surgical. Need a scalpel. Let me work and get this done. You know, it's not. You use the word sexy. It's not going to be sexy all the time. But it likely, if that level of play from a year ago can hold up, may not be sexy. It will be efficient. He was one of the most efficient quarterbacks, if not the most efficient quarterback in pro football.
That's what you want. Yeah, that's what you want. You want a guy that can just get the job done. And I think that's going to be Case Keenum.
You know who said something that off the air, and I can't give you the exact quote, but it was Steve Smith, a guy we talked about yesterday, the most entertaining football player I've ever seen. He's just my favorite guy. But he said,
"Ice up, son."
Yeah, I said, "Yo, he is a classic quote walking."
Yes.
I mean, he is just the best. Even in his role now, he got into it with who this past year? Where it was like Dion. Who was it? It was with Michael Irvin. Yes.
I don't remember that.
Like, yo, he will, like, put you on notice. It started off as friendly barbs, and then they're, like, cross the line for Smith, and he just, like, it's, like, back in killer mode. But what Steve Smith said one time off the air, and I know this to be true for a fact, he didn't say it into a microphone, but he said, I don't need a quarterback running around and throwing it downfield. I need a boring quarterback. Give me a boring quarterback. And Case Keenum, for what you would think of as valued, for quarterback attributes, he's rather boring.
And I'm okay with that. Just like Steve Smith's okay with that. If you got a quarterback that can read defenses, that knows where to go with the football, that will take care of the football and do the little things, and then you pair that with a really good defense, you're going to have a chance every single week to be successful, to win games. And when you have that type of quarterback, now your good defense or your really good defense becomes great.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what happens to that defense because they're rested. And you know what? What else? Come on. What else happens when you have that type of offense and that type of quarterback?
I don't know what question you're trying to ask me. Hold on. Rephrase it. Reset it.
I don't know if I can do it again. I just do it one time. That's it. You got one shot at it. I can't backtrack and try to, you know, redo what I just said.
Efficient quarterback, it gets the best of your defense.
Yes. What can you put in place?
The formula.
Yes. We got there.
The formula.
The formula. You can put the formula in place and your defense becomes really, really, really good. Special defense. Because now you got the lead and Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. You know what? Pin your ears back. You don't have to worry about the running game. And DeMarcus Walker and Derek Wolfe and company, we're getting after the quarterback, which we do best. The formula can be put into place.
Stokely stoked up. We're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
The home run derby, Zach, I mean, it was awesome. Bryce Harper's performance was epic. It was legendary. It was so cool to watch. He had the, you know, USA bat. He had the sleeve on. He had the head bandana on, you know, almost looking like Hulk Hogan. And the performance that he had, he was down 18-9. He went deep 9 times in a span of 10 swings. Are you kidding me? In his hometown stadium in front of his fans. I mean, might be the last time that he's in that all-star uniform, wearing a Nationals uniform. This might be it for him, playing for that team. And to do it when they are hosting the all-star game was so cool. And the way he came back in that performance, it was awesome. It was awesome. You think a home run derby, you know, I think of Ken Griffey Jr., I think of Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and now you got to put Bryce Harper right up there. That was so cool last night. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely Stoked Up, presented by CSU Global.
That's what I'm talking about!
Man, that was special. That was special. It was legendary. And this is a clip of the last 10 seconds or so of us signing off the air yesterday afternoon. Who's your favorite in the home run derby tonight?
I'm going Bryce Harper. He's kind of under the radar. It's his home stadium, hometown. He's going to go out there and put on a show. Who you got?
Kyle Schwarber. He's got big
Lunch?
Body. Yeah. If one of our guys wins and the
Just
other
who
doesn't...
goes the furthest?
Oh, sure. We can do that.
Yeah.
How about that? You and I picked the two guys in the finals. Pretty cool. It was an all-time moment for that lane, you know, of a novelty lane like a home run derby. The drama surrounding it, and he doesn't get to pass Schwarber unless he hits those two long dingers, gets the extra 30 seconds.
You got to get the extra time.
And that's just a cool another dimension to it. And I wanted him to take the bat and flip it 4 stories high.
Well, he kind of threw it,
though.
He two-hand threw it up in the air, which was pretty cool, and kind of gave that one arm, like, to the sky pump fist.
It was Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, to infinity and beyond. But that was really, really cool. Just a really cool moment.
And his dad was pitching for
him. His dad was pitching, slinging in there. His dad's all yoked up. That was really cool. It was. Just how it all unfolded in his stadium, in front of his fans. Really, really fun to watch. And I'm kind of, you're looking at the home run derby and you see who they had participating in it. And I'm kind of worried a little bit about guys, the stars not being involved in the home run derby. Kind of like the stars you don't see in the dunk contest anymore.
That's right.
I'm worried about this happening to the home run derby because you see a lot of players, is it worth their while to do it? And you see, will it mess their swing up? You know, a lot of concerns with players. Arenado talked about, you know, I'm not doing it because I don't want it to mess my swing up moving forward. You got to practice doing this.
Yeah,
and you got to put real time and effort. And will that mess your swing up before, after the All-Star break? Do you want to take that chance? A lot of guys are just like, no, thank you. I mean, really, you know, Schwarber, Bergman. I mean, you've heard a few of those guys, but some of them you're like, who?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Bryce Harper kind of carrying that home run derby, most of those guys, you're just like, who's that?
Well, I'll tell you this. We were, and we had a couple friends over. We were going to actually tag team watch The Bachelor. And we were waiting for this thing to get over. Had Bryce Harper act like you're not up to speed with the hometowns.
The hometowns.
Well, I said that to say, if Bryce Harper wasn't on the TV, if it wasn't anyone but Bryce Harper, we would have started The Bachelor. But because it was Bryce, I said, hold on.
Y'all had a Bachelor viewing party at your place.
Just us and another couple. Made some pizzas.
What has happened to you?
What's Becca going to do?
What has happened to you? Oh, my God.
Well, actually, there's a former tight end on the show from Denver.
I can see it now. Were you, like, all dressed up, had, like, a sports coat on, y'all swirling your wine?
Soft. Had my pajamas on. But there was a tight end from Denver that was on the show, Colton...
played college football or something? Where did he play ball?
Colton Underwood. He played at, I think, like, it's like Tennessee State or something like that. But he spent time on the Chargers, I think, practice squad, couple other practice squad.
You see, my wife is out of town, so.
That's why you didn't watch it.
That's why I didn't have to watch it. Okay? Because it is. Once you start watching it, it's like, and, you know, I'm doing something else and it's on TV. I start looking at it and then I'm like, what is he doing?
Right.
She's like, I thought you weren't watching it. You just can't help yourself.
You hate watch it.
Yeah, it's like a train wreck. You just are drawn to it. You know, it's a wreck. It's caught. You just got to look at it. You can't help yourself. That's what happens.
Legendary. I mean, these... Well, there's a reason why it's been on the air for about 15 years.
Right, exactly.
And then you add in a football sprinkle, and I'm like, oh, who is this guy? And then, by the way, Jesse Palmer hosts the show after. Have you seen this? It's called The Proposal.
Oh, my goodness.
Stoke, it's basically Bachelor mixed into 1 hour. They meet and get engaged.
Yes, I saw the previews for that.
Never seen anything like it.
That is crazy.
It's 2018 in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's like, let's take this whole process and microwave it.
And try to get TV ratings and get people to watch.
And you got Jesse Palmer, who's like playing the role of Ryan Sequest and setting these guys up, and they're getting married. You know, it's 2018. It's nonsense.
That's crazy. How can you meet somebody and you're just going to say, okay, we're going to get married?
Like, it's garbage for your eyeballs. It's mindless. But it's often entertaining.
Wow.
ESPN Insiders today, to take a hard right turn.
Goodness.
ESPN Insiders did a future power rankings. And what they did is they looked at every single organizational makeup. And this was a whole body approach. It wasn't analyzing a quarterback or an offensive line or even just a roster. What they did, and when I say they, Lewis Riddick, Mike Sandow, and Field Yates, all guys that we respect for ESPN Insider, rated each franchise over the next 3 years and gave it a letter grade, A+, A, B, C, D, F, F-. But they did it by a distribution. Okay, so what I mean by that is 30% of the grade is weighed on the roster. 20% of the grade was the quarterback. 15% of the grade was the draft. 15% of the grade was the front office. And 20% of your grade was head coach. The Broncos got a grade of 74.9, which would be a C, okay, average. They give a breakdown. The roster was ranked 17th in the league. Quarterback. They have ranked 23rd. Coaching, Vance Joseph ranked 29th out of 32, according to insiders. The draft was ranked 23rd, and the front office was ranked 10th. So a top 10 front office grade. After I just throw all of that at you, what do you make of it?
I'm confused. Everything else is, you know, 17, 23, 29, 23, and the front office is 10. Well, front office is responsible for all that other stuff. So how's everything else, you know, mid-20s, you got a 17 in there, and then front office is 10. That doesn't make sense, first off.
That's a good point.
But you look at where they're ranking these, you know, roster, coaching, all this stuff, and I think it's pretty spot on. It is pretty spot on. But you know what? That doesn't mean anything. That is the past, okay? I'm looking forward to what it looks like and what these scores could be like next year. That's what I'm thinking about. And this thing can change really, really quickly. When you look at the draft class of 2 years ago and you look at the draft class this past year and see what kind of impact they have on this football team this year. You see, you know, Vance Joseph in his second year and Joe Woods in his second year. These coaches, these coordinators. And you look at the draft and the impact that they could have on this year's football team, and that will be a reflection of the front office. They already have the front office pretty high here with the 10th overall ranking.
Yeah.
But I could see a lot of these numbers changing next year, and all of a sudden you look back and you're a B plus if things go right. And Case Keenum is a quarterback that we expect and we hope he's going to be.
Lewis Riddick, a guy that we both respect, okay? When looking at the next 3 years for the Broncos, this was his biggest worry, Stoke. I'm going to read it verbatim. Quote, I had two, again from Lewis Riddick, quote, I had two real concerns with this team heading into 2017 and beyond. Cornerback Paxton Lynch and the offensive line. Well, it's game over for Lynch as far as his being the future in
Denver.
Like
Lil Flip says?
Game over. Yes. Love okay. that song. Yep. All right. Well, it's game over for Lynch as far as his being the future in Denver, and the offensive line is still a big question mark. For 2018 and beyond, the primary concern is the status and standing of Vance Joseph, and if he truly is John Elway's man of the future, how Keenum produces, and if the defense can be a dominant force to propel the Broncos to a conference championship once again, is ultimately going to be how Joseph will be judged. Again, that's from Lewis Riddick.
So, spot on. I mean, he really was. I like everything that he said. I mean, he's exactly right. So we'll see what this offensive line is going to be. I have an optimism that they will be better and continue to improve. But, you know, how Case Keenum produces is going to be a big part in determining the Broncos and their success this year, which in turn will determine Vance Joseph's future here.
This is all part of the same equation.
Yep.
This is all, you know, we were talking about the running game and how it affects Case. And this is, you know what it reminds me of? The inside of a watch. You ever seen the inside of a watch? It's got all these gears and little spinny things, but they're all using each other to keep on propelling. And that's how a watch works. When we talk about the running back being able to, or the running game, excuse me, being able to help Case Keenum. And then if you got a running game, that's only going to help Case Keenum and what he naturally wants to do as a play-action passer, right? And then that's going to put the defense in a better position because they'll be able to apply the formula. And if all this happens, then Vance Joseph's going to keep his job and you're going to see a better version of him. This is the inside of a clock, man. And we need everything moving at the same pace, at the same time.
Yes, you do. And if you don't have, you know, one of those top four or five quarterbacks or a just legendary defense like we had a couple years ago, then you're going to need a lot of these parts to, like you said, help the other parts out to be successful. And I think that's going to be the case this year. You know, we don't have a top five quarterback,
right?
But we have a really good quarterback, a competent quarterback. You know, maybe DT isn't the same he was 4 years ago, but you know what? Case Keenum will help him out. He'll help Case Keenum out, and together they'll make this offense better, and they'll make this offensive line better. This running game will help this offensive line out, and vice versa. Now all of a sudden the defense will be more of the defense that we're used to seeing around here, creating turnovers because the pressure is on the opposing offense because, you know what, they got to score more points now. They feel that pressure. They're playing from behind. And now the formula comes into place and we're winning football games again. That's the key.
In this article from ESPN Insider that was authored by Lewis Riddick, Mike Sandow, and Field Yates, the last section that they comment on is what could change for the better with the Denver Broncos. And this was Mike Sandow. Quote, we graded the Broncos coaching outlook as the NFL's fifth worst heading into Joseph's second season. But what are we basing that on? A case can be made that Denver's quarterback play was so bad last season, the Broncos' 31.1 total QBR ranked 363rd out of 384 teams since 2006.
Wow.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Good God in heaven. I knew it was bad. I didn't realize it was that bad. I'm actually reading this for the first time. Let me read that again. Lock in here and focus. A case can be made that Denver's quarterback play was so bad last season, the Broncos' 31.1 total QBR ranked 363rd out of 384 teams since 2006.
Let me do the math for you. Only 21 worse than the Broncos. only 21 total QBR rankings since 2006 had been worse than the Broncos season last year.
That was almost 15 years ago now. It's going to be 2019 this football season.
It's still 2018.
Well, they'll play the Super Bowl in 2019.
Yeah, okay. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I didn't, Stoke, I didn't realize it was that bad.
Not 15.
What, are we working on 13 years?
12.
All right. Hey, Helen, that's more than a decade.
There we go.
It's more than a decade.
Running hypotenuse well.
A squared plus B squared is what?
A squared plus B squared is C squared.
There we go.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom McMahon.
Tom McMahon.
Yes. I want to call him Brock.
I know. But it's the same tone. It's the same.
It is.
It's the same tone.
Same intensity, kind of same press conferences, yeah. You know.
Over the top nature.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to play on a rectangle.
And that's what I coach, is just there on the rectangle.
So good.
Love it.
All right. Let me finish this thought from Mike Sandow. He said, we graded the Broncos coaching outlook as the NFL's fifth worst heading into Joseph's second season. But what are we basing that on? A case can be made that Denver's quarterback play was so bad last season. The Broncos 31 total QBR ranked 363 out of 384 teams since 2006 that it distorted our view of the organization as a whole. In that case, even average play from Case Keenum could quickly recast the Broncos as an upper-tier team. I thought that was very well put.
Yeah, it really sheds light on what happened last year. And it wasn't just Trevor Siemian. They're talking about all these quarterbacks. The whole quarterback play as a whole, the whole season.
It was a conga line.
Right.
Like, who's up?
Yes, it was a complete disaster. And I'm not putting it all on the quarterbacks. Obviously, you put it on the offense as a whole, and you can put the coaches in there also, and you shake it up and you throw it in the blender, and that's what you got. So it's not just all on these quarterbacks. I'm putting it on the offensive players around these quarterbacks. You know, Emmanuel Sanders was banged up. He wasn't healthy. DT just wasn't the same. Running game was like, eh. Offensive line was like, eh. So I'm not pinning on Brock, Paxton, and Trevor only. Not doing that.
Okay.
Just as long as we got that straight.
It is the linchpin, though. It's on, yes, you know, the way we described it so many times here on a Monday, saying, you know, there's Thanksgiving leftovers, plenty to go around. You know, plenty of blame to go around.
Right.
But
Case Keenum, look, it was a mess from the start. Quarterback competitions are never good. They're never good for your football season. They're not good for your football team. It's hard to get continuity. It's hard to get on the same page. It's hard to be a consistent producing offense when you're having a quarterback competition. And that was the start of it. I don't fault the Broncos, though. What are you going to do? You got a first-round quarterback that's just sitting there like, eh. Like, what are you doing, buddy? You know, take this job, win this job. But he hasn't done that. So, and Trevor Siemian plays out of his mind the year before, a lot better than what people expect him to play. And then next thing you know, Vance Joseph is coming here and it's like, okay, well, I got to do a quarterback competition. Can't hand this thing to Paxton. He hadn't earned it.
Right.
Can't just hand it to Trevor. So we got to have a competition. So the writing was on the wall from the get-go and everything just kind of was a disaster from then.
Yeah,
and we should have known it. You know, you got a great promo out talking about just all the different things that led to last season and the disaster that it was. But you look back at it and you say, okay, it was going to be hard for this team to be successful and be hard for these quarterbacks to be successful.
When we talk about producing offensively, there's one guy, Stoke, that's been on my mind, and I just can't shake it because of how explosive he was in college, how much I thought he was going to help the Denver Broncos, and just what the Broncos thought of him.
Was that your favorite pick in the draft?
In the moment, it was. It really was. And it was Carlos Henderson. Carlos Henderson out of Louisiana Tech. Okay? This is a guy, and you can talk to me about what conference he played in or what this and that, but this is a guy who had 1,535 receiving yards in his junior season. Stoke, that's about 200 yards less than Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton's junior years combined. Carlos Henderson at La Tech had more touchdowns in his junior season than Deshaun Hamilton had in his entire career. Carlos Henderson was the offensive player of the year and the special teams player of the year in the same season.
That's unbelievable.
The way Rashad Penny just did it this last year in the Mountain West. This is what this guy did. And the Broncos were so high on him, they picked him in the third round, Stoke. This guy was a running back after the catch, a thoroughbred. I believe he's one of the five best athletes on the Denver Broncos, just raw athletes. We got to find a way to get this guy involved. It's too much talent. You got to figure it out. And I thought back to a conversation you and I had with the general manager of the Rams, Les Snead, at the Senior Bowl. And it's almost like this quote, it almost was tailor-made for Carlos Henderson. Listen to this.
So I think what it does is you do now have to have a really defined plan and patience to go, all right, if we take this kid who's a little bit farther behind, maybe because of the style of play, how are we going to get that guy, you know, ready to go on Sundays as soon as possible because you don't have a lot of time.
You need a plan. You have patience. And if this player is further behind because of his style of play that he played, a la air raid offense,
right,
limited route tree at La Tech, you got to have a specific plan and, more importantly, patience.
How much patience? That's the thing. You know, it's easy to say.
More than a year. He was drafted just last year.
Well, are you like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and your second-round kicker? You just realize, man, yeah, we can't be patient any longer. You know, when does that come into play with Carlos Henderson? You can tell they're getting to their wit's end with him.
But Aguayo actually had chances to fail. Carlos Henderson hasn't played a game for the Broncos.
Well, there's a reason.
Yes.
Yes, he was hurt. But there's a reason.
That wasn't the full reason.
There was a reason why Vance Joseph called him out. They're getting tired of him.
Oh, yes.
And so it's like you're always hurt. When you weren't hurt, you know, you weren't very engaged. You didn't know. You weren't on top of your stuff. And now you're back. You know, what are you dealing with now? What's going on with Carlos? You know, you just become like, what are we doing here? So when do you reach that point? You know, is it after year two? Do you give him another grace period, another year, and maybe have to cut a good player? Or do you just cut bait like Tampa Bay did with Roberto Aguayo and just said, you know what? It is what it is. Sorry. We got to move on. We got some other good players. And every organization's different.
Yes. And if they reach that conclusion, I will not fight it as long as they've exhausted every opportunity to put him in a position to be successful. This is the lifeblood of your organization, the NFL draft. He was a third-round pick last year for good reason. And if the Broncos didn't pick him, someone else would have. If he's healthy, now this is the caveat, if he's healthy, I think it is incumbent upon the coaching staff to do everything they possibly can to get that guy the football. And if you're telling me he's too dumb, you're telling me he eating weed and getting in trouble and not focused and coming late and he doesn't have character, well, that's a failure, just of a different brand. It's the other side of the coin, that you used such a equitable pick in the third round on a guy that you didn't really know who he was.
Yeah, you should have known. We'll see how it plays out in training camp. I'm looking forward to watching him. I hope he stays healthy, because early in OTAs, he was a guy that I saw and I said, that's why they drafted him. Okay, I see why they drafted him. This is the first time that I see why they drafted him in the third round. This is the first time I see why he had 1,500 yards his junior season, why he was the offensive player of the year and the special teams player of the year in the same year. I see it right now. And then it kind of went away, and he got hurt. And then he wasn't there, you know, for minicamp. And Vance Joseph calls him out. It's like, come on. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, then we can get an evaluation on him. Is he getting better? Is he improving? Is the game slowing down for him or not? But he needs to pick it up.
He does. There's no question.
Because, look, the NFL these days, you know, they're not committed to these draft picks like they used to be. When it comes to, you know, salary cap ramifications because, well, this guy's making too much money. We got to keep him around. Nope, they move on from you a lot quicker nowadays than they used to. So a third-round pick, if you're not getting the job done, you know what? Hey, we got River Craycraft, and this guy looks pretty good. Oh, we got Hunter Sharp, and this guy looks pretty good. We're not going to cut one of these players whenever you don't deserve it. We'll just admit our mistake and move on. But you know what, Zach? In about 12 days, We're fixing to find out.
We are fixing to find
Gary Kubiak
out.
Yes.
Wow,
12 days.
Gary Kubiak's got.
Get
the
your
same
mind right. Is your mind right?
It is right.
Huh?
My mind is right.
Are you hydrating?
I am. I'm fully hydrated.
Okay, good. Hey, don't ever admit again that you had a bachelor party viewing party.
I did not have a viewing party. I had two friends over.
Wow.
And it was
a
little party.
You're getting called out.
It was a little party.
And also, the rumors are that, you know what, the wives said, you know what, we're turning off the Home Run Derby and we're putting it on The Bachelor and y'all sit down and y'all going to watch The Bachelor. Sorry.
Anything.
Follow the Home Run Derby on your phone. We're about to watch The Bachelor.
Anything for facts. Becca. Anything for Becca.
And I'll go fill up my wine glass, Zach.
There's never an offseason for talking Broncos or heckling over viewing habits. That continues with The Drive coming up next.